can see the way. And I've left behind the empty streets that once inspired my life. And the strength of the emotion is like thunder in the air. 'Cause the promise that we made each other haunts me to the end.
Okay, welcome to the Friday edition of the Investigative Journal, the show that's been called the alternative to the alternative media for good reason, because we have guests on our show that a lot of people just don't want to talk to. But anyway, I'm Greg Szymanski. I'm here on the Republic Broadcasting Network every day from 11 to 1, just came back recently. And thanks a lot for all the support, all the people that have sent me emails thanking me for coming back to RBN, and I hope you're listening today, because I'm going to have an open line Friday mixed in with a guest that's a friend of mine and has been on my show before, Brian David Anderson. Many of you may not know who he is, but he's been researching the Kennedy assassination for years. And you're going to enjoy this discussion today. I wanted to have on Bob Jackson. He's been on my show 2 months ago. I may play a clip from our last interview, but Bob Jackson was the Dallas Times reporter who took the infamous photo of Lee Harvey Oswald. And that photo had been circulated all over the world. That's the one, of course, where Oswald is grimacing. You see the policeman pointing the gun. And boy, does Bob Jackson tell a story about that. And if you ever thought that Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't shot there and that was just a stage event, you got to listen to Bob Jackson, and we'll talk about it with Brian David Anderson when we get him on the line after this short segment here. But Bob Jackson told us on the show 2 months ago, and I'll play the clip, that he was in that basement. He was right there next to that policeman shooting. He did not see one drop of blood. He was down in that basement for 3 hours, all the way till they put Lee Harvey Oswald into the ambulance. Now, it was a point-blank shot. His hand, Oswald's hand, was in front of the, you can even see it, in front of the gun being pointed at him in his rib cage. And Bob said, it's so strange, not one drop of blood. Just incredible. So if you ever thought Oswald wasn't shot there and wasn't a patsy, this is evidence that really, really is interesting. And Bob is a former Dallas Times reporter that told us that. He couldn't be with us today, but Brian David Anderson will be. And we'll talk about the Kennedy assassination, certain facts that you haven't probably heard before that Brian knew through friends when he lived in, I believe, in Dallas. And also we'll have an open line. So we're going to open the phones all during the discussion to talk. If you want to talk about Kennedy, if you want to take some other topics and discuss them, we'll do that. 800-313-9443. We can talk about, boy, all the big stories that we've been covering on this show and other shows that you listen to on RBN. But you want to talk about the Leo Wanta story? You want to talk about the pedophile problem that we've been discussing with New York Police Detective Jim Rothstein on our show? I did want to update that you may remember this, but I had on an archbishop from Guatemala. Oh, this was about 3 or 4 months ago. And his name is Archbishop Gerard Buffard, who told an incredible story about Vatican corruption. He is now on the path of truth. Now, he was going to be on my show recently, but he's just been diagnosed with bone cancer. And for those of you who remember Gerard Buffard, he'll be back in a week or two on my show, and you're going to hear some incredible things. He was a 33-degree Mason also, and the Archbishop of Guatemala, until he saw the light. We'll be back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no financing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Have you heard of the universal antidote for poisoning? If you were thinking activated charcoal, you're right. Emergency wards around the world use activated charcoal as the antidote of choice for hundreds of poisons and as a detox for drug overdose. Because activated charcoal is rated safe and effective by the FDA, you can give it to your family, your pets, or livestock with no worry of negative side effects. If you have acid reflux, an infected wound, a spider bite, want to lower cholesterol, or control bad odors, activated charcoal is a safe, natural remedy. To learn more, visit buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Buyactivatedcharcoal.com carries a wide range of activated charcoal products. Come visit us at www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. That's www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Or give us a call at 1-888-264-5568. Activated charcoal, a supernatural remedy for the 21st century.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Okay, we're back on the Investigative Journal, and like I said, we're going to get into the Kennedy assassination today, as well as take open calls and open my lines up for a couple hours. And Brian David Anderson, my guest, is with me. I'm going to introduce him in a second. But if you want to call us regarding anything, you know, I have this funny this habit that I've always gotten into ever since I was a kid. I always wanted to try to find out the truth. And the Kennedy assassination's always interested me. But, you know, you have to think about this and go way back to the Lincoln assassination because they have similarities. I've had C.T. Wilcox, the author of Transformation of the Republic, on my show. And he documented how the Lincoln assassination took place, how, of course, Booth was made up to be the lone gunman when, in fact, there was a number of people involved in this, and also how the Vatican was involved in hiding some of the suspects. And this is very interesting. Then our patriots back then cut off diplomatic relations. Now you fast forward to Kennedy, and here we go again, the lone gunman. They do things in the same manner over years and years and years, and you got to read back in history to really get the full perspective of what's happening in America today. So don't be hoodwinked by these people, and don't get into this habit that it's the Vatican back then was involved, they're not involved now. Think about John F. Kennedy. Think about exactly what he was saying. He was a son of the Catholic Church, and think about what happened to him. Basically, about 2 weeks before he was killed, he gave a speech denouncing secret societies, wanting to change the CIA, wanting to change the illegal Federal Reserve banking system. And from there, the orders came down from the Black Pope to the Pope. This is a heretic. He has to go. And so they begin to use their intelligence services all over the world, including the FBI, to kill our last really decent president that we've had. Now, what happened? I've had people on my show that have talked about Kennedy, talked about how this went down, and basically, and talking to Jim Rothstein, I'm just giving this as a background. Jim Rothstein, a New York police detective who nabbed Frank Sturgis, who was going to kill a woman by the name of Marita, who had information about the, she was involved in the assassination and came down from Miami with two cars from Miami with the hit squad. Now, Rothstein had talked to nailed Sturgis when he was going to kill Marita, and in the New York police station was the Sturgis told him that he was involved, that he was one of the gunmen. He also put George H. Bush in Mexico planning this, and then, of course, we can also place Bush in Dallas, which he denies. Now, why I want to bring Brian David Anderson on and talk about this, and we'll take some calls too. Linda's in Minnesota's already called. We'll get to everybody. 800-313-9443. Is that just recently, when President Gerald Ford passed away, George H. Bush at the funeral used that Ford's death and his eulogy to, as a bully pulpit, to say that anybody who considers that this is, wasn't a lone gunman and is a conspiracy theorist are really crazy. And the reason is because we have such an honorable man named Gerald Ford who was on the Warren Commission and knows the truth. Well, Ford admitted he lied, and that was just a propaganda speech, because I think Bush was maybe feeling the heat. Maybe some of the many of the investigators that have been following Kennedy, and there's so many of them out there, and I'd like to applaud a number of people, and you know who you are, who have been trying to get to the truth to JFK for years, and well, I've talked to a number of them, and it's just incredible how this information gets twisted, and it just goes to show you what how we're under this fascist regime. Brian David Anderson, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you today?
Very good. How about you?
I'm doing good. You know, I potted up this thing, this interview. Remember the interview we had with Bob Jackson?
Yes, I do very much.
Yeah, I potted it up, but you know what? Maybe I'll play it a little later, but just tell us a little bit, because we know that story quite well. Tell our listeners who didn't catch that interview, and I'm going to tell them the date. It was a couple months ago, and you can go in my archives on arcticbeacon.com and listen to it, because it's just incredible. Tell us, just kind of outline what Bob told us a couple months ago.
Well, first off, Bob Jackson, yeah, was a photographer for the Dallas Times Herald, and he was in the motorcade with Kennedy behind and heard the gunshots. Then he was given an assignment to go over and do something over at the, I think it was One Marketplace, and take a photograph on, I believe it was Saturday or Sunday, after the assassination. And they were going to move Oswald from the Dallas Police Department, I believe, over to the county office and charge him. And Bob Jackson defied his editor and went to the basement to take a photograph of Oswald being moved. Of course, he has then the very famous photograph of Oswald then leaning over and his mouth is open, etc. There was another photographer from the Dallas Morning News that took a picture, and it shows up the gun being pointed at Oswald, and Bob Jackson won the Pulitzer Prize. The other photographer, his picture didn't go anywhere. And so then Bob had to stay in the basement of the Dallas Police Department, and by doing so, the newspaper forced him to stay, which actually I think was one of the best things that ever happened. The other photographer immediately went back over to his dark room and started putting out his pictures. And then that's the reason why that wasn't circulated at the beginning was Bob's picture. But by Bob hanging around and being taking pictures, etc., he made a very interesting note, and that is that when they brought Oswald out, none of the officers who handled Oswald nor Oswald himself had any type of blood. It was just basically a dry type of thing. Then the floor where Oswald was shot, there was no blood. The whole area where Oswald was shot would normally be a crime scene. That was not turned into a crime scene. And then Bob also made another observation, because he was in the parade and then he came back to Dealey Plaza, was that within an hour, hour and a half after the assassination occurred, they opened up the street to traffic. So here the Dallas Police Department, over a 48-hour period between Friday and Sunday, then failed to make any type of crime scenes, both at where Kennedy was killed and also where Oswald was killed. This is really a fact that is really overlooked by a lot of Kennedy investigator buffs. And so having also worked at the Dallas Times-Herald, I worked with Bob Jackson as a summer intern photographer. I had the opportunity to interact with many of the Dallas Police Department, and they are a professional type of crew. They are, and they would never do something like this, not create crime scenes, unless they were ordered not to do so.
All right, so here we have
the thing about, well, again, this is one of many involvements that I have had with the Kennedy assassination. I grew up in Dallas and the suburb of Irving. When the assassination occurred, I was in the fifth grade. I was going to St. Luke's School. They came onto the playground, and they pulled us off the playground, and then they turned on the radios. And then we were listening to the live radios, all the reports coming in about Kennedy being shot, etc. Finally, they said, okay, Kennedy is dead. So we listened to it a little bit longer, and then before we left, this is a fascinating fact, is that before we left and we were dismissed from school, we had to walk home. They already had the information of Oswald out.
Yeah.
So they had already arrested him, and they said, we got a suspect. He lives on West 5th Street in Irving. Well, that's where we lived. So when we walked home, my brother and I, he was in the third grade, I was in the fifth. Pardon me. When he was in the fifth grade, or I was in fifth grade, he was in third. Here we are walking home, and we had just gotten a report that Oswald was living on our street. West 5th.
Oh, boy.
And so then we got home, and now what was fascinating about this also is my older brother, who was in the 7th grade, he was going to public school, and he had seen in the newspaper where the whole route was going and everything. And on November 21st, my brother begged my father to go downtown. My father also worked in downtown on Commerce Street, and begged my father that he wanted to go and watch Kennedy, and the perfect place to go watch it was Dealey Plaza. My father was a very ardent Republican, conservative, you know, you got to do this, got to do that, and skipping school for that day just seemed so impractical to go see a president, especially a Democrat president. And so then he didn't let him go. So my brother would have been in Dealey Plaza had my father not said no. But then when Kennedy came down, my father looked outside of his window from his office and saw Kennedy in the parade and then went around the corner. So now when we get home, we now find my father on the couch. He had already driven home. He was one of the persons that drove down that street where Kennedy was killed, and came back home, and here he was, just laid out crying.
Yeah, now you think they would have had that whole area cordoned off.
Right, but now, here was for the first time I'd ever seen my father cry, and here it was because he had made all these comments, etc. So in November 22nd of 1963 was not a beaver cleaver time in the Anderson household. There were just so many things that happened. And then there was a lot of other connections that I had to the assassination. And that's
all. We're gonna get into a lot of that, and in the meantime also sprinkle in a whole bunch of callers who want to either talk about Kennedy or other things. And I know you're really one of the few people in America who has a handle on what's happening in this country. And I know even if it's off the Kennedy subject, maybe you can comment also. We'll be back with Brian David Anderson, and we'll get to all these callers in about 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal.
Do you desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieves pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. you have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
Broken lines, broken strings, broken threads, broken springs, broken idols, broken heads, people sleeping in broken beds. Ain't no use jiving, ain't no use joking.
All right, we're going to have a wide open Friday, an open line Friday, along with Brian David Anderson, who we want to talk about the Kennedy assassination for these 2 hours, too. I mean, Brian's got a lot of great information, but I also did want to sprinkle in some people who may be concerned about other stories, and I'm sure Brian would like to chip in on that. One thing, I just want to, a lot of people listen to my show and listen to RBN, do a lot of research on their own. I wanted to say that right now. A lot of these listeners are very well informed, and let me just help you out here with the Kennedy assassination. And this isn't just specific evidence like we just talked about with Bob Jackson, the former Dallas Times photographer, who made a statement that's just unbelievable. He saw the shooting, was right there of Oswald. He stayed in that basement for 3 hours, all the way up until Oswald was put in the ambulance. He did not see one speck of blood. Now, I questioned him on my show a couple months ago. Not one speck, not one little drop anywhere. Now, tell me how that happens. The conclusion I draw was that Oswald wasn't shot there. And it was a fake shooting, and something else happened to him, which Brian has some ideas about. But let me do this. Think about this, and then I'm going to get to Linden, Minnesota. Think about this. If you go, I'm going to give you a little help here. Go to C.T. Wilcox's website, ctwilcox.com, and start researching how Abraham Lincoln was killed, why he was killed, who was involved with the killing, and what were the reasons behind it. Now, if you fast forward to Kennedy, you're going to see that it's probably the same reasons, just maybe a different context, but basically for the same general reasons, and I contend the same general people all the way up to the Vatican were involved in it also. So we can't let any of these guys escape. And remember, there's no statute of limitations on murder. Let me go to Linda in Minnesota. How are you today, Linda? Do you have a question or comment?
I have a comment. This is about President Kennedy. Before I make my comment, though, I want to say something about President Kennedy. I was no fan of his, and he signed the total disarmament for, I can't remember the exact name of it, but for total disarmament for world peace with the United Nations. Now, the damage was already done when he did that. Now, he might have had a change of heart, or he saw what was going on when maybe he was thinking of taking us back to the gold standard, or he was going to uncover this secret cabal. I don't know what it was, but the damage was already done. Where our military, we were going to be disarmed. The Second Amendment was going to be taken away. That's the blueprint that the state and federal government's been using ever since. Now, here's what happened. In 1992, when I was working for a independent presidential campaign, this happened in Salt Lake City. My mother was working with me in this little office that we had, and a gentleman came in one night with his family. He looked around a little bit, picked up some pamphlets. His family went out to the car. He went to the door, and he stopped, and he came back. Now, he didn't address me, but I was standing right next to my mother. He said to her, and I could tell by the look on his face and the sound of his voice that he was very anxious, and he says, "I have to tell you something." He said, "I was in the CIA for 20 years, and then he said, now here's the way I remember the quote. He said, "I was there, I heard him say it," and then he said what Mr. Bush said. Mr. Bush went to Joseph Kennedy, that the father to John and Bobby Kennedy, and he said, quote, "Those two boys have got to go." He says, and then he went on again. He says, "I was there. I heard him say it."
Wow. Yeah, it doesn't. So that was George H. Bush, right?
Well, of course. And he was in the CIA. And the thing is, we're never going to get to the bottom of the John Kennedy assassination. We're never going to get to the bottom of 9/11, even though we have the answers. But what I'm trying to say is that in Vince Foster and all these others, we're never going to have restitution from this government, because it is a secret combination cabal. And that is why we're...
From Brian? Brian, do you have a comment about what Linda's saying?
Oh, I think that she provided a great segue, and that is that we have to look at the history of Joseph Kennedy to look at this whole Kennedy assassination and how the parts and pieces fall together. And if we could, then we'll do a somewhat of a digression here, and we go into the history of Joseph Kennedy.
Can I say one more thing, and then I'll hang up?
Sure, sure.
If John is listening, John Stattmiller, several years ago, I sent him the only video that I have. Now, the video may still be out there, but I sent him a video of actual film footage of the Kennedy assassination. When you're looking at the film, it's the right side of his face that gets blown away. And Emory Roberts, who is in the car behind Kennedy, he's the one who stands up. It's all on the news media. This is what they cut out. Emory Roberts stands up.
Do you still have that video?
I gave it to John Stattmiller. He says he can't find it.
Okay. We're going to be back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal. Thanks a lot, Linda. We'll be back with Brian David Anderson.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Have you heard of the universal antidote for poisoning? If you were thinking activated charcoal, you're right. Emergency wards around the world use activated charcoal as the antidote of choice for hundreds of poisons and as a detox for drug overdose. Because activated charcoal is rated safe and effective by the FDA, you can give it to your family, your pets, or livestock with no worry of negative side effects. If you have acid reflux, an infected wound, a spider bite, want to lower cholesterol, or control bad odors, activated charcoal is a safe, natural remedy. To learn more, visit buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Buyactivatedcharcoal.com carries a wide range of activated charcoal products. Come visit us at www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. That's www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Or give us a call at 1-888-264-5568. Activated charcoal, a supernatural remedy for the 21st century.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
On this wide open, open line Friday on the Investigative Journal with my guest, Brian David Anderson, who's providing some interesting information about the Kennedy assassination. So if you want to call us about that or anything, 800-313-9443. And listen, Roger, we will get to you on the other callers, but I wanted to get back to Brian regarding you wanted to mention, you wanted to go into the history briefly of Joseph Kennedy. Go right ahead, Brian.
Okay, also, too, is those people that you're listening to the commercials, you'll probably hear also an advertisement by Brian David Anderson. And that
did sound familiar.
And I'm a very proud now sponsor, especially of the Investigative Journal. When you came back over to this network here, that was the prompting for me to come back and be an advertiser and also a big supporter of the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Well, and I'm glad. I know John Stabenow would be happy to hear that.
One more time.
And I'm very happy to hear that, too. Go ahead.
And one more time, it's trivortex.com. The telephone number there is 619-884-1455. Again, 619-884-1455. Now, if we could, before we start hopscotching around the things, I want to finish the thing also, the experiences that I had as a youth, just very briefly, because it also is going to then be a basis of a lot of the other statements that I'm making, is that, I found my father. He was all curled up on November 22nd because of the statements he made about his about President Kennedy. Then my mother's two best friends were nurses at Parkland Hospital. One went with Kennedy. away from the West Fifth Street house that were on the same street as Lee Harvey Oswald supposedly lived. And we moved to Glen Valley. And at 1629 Glen Valley is where we lived. Two houses down was Charles Rufus Baxter, Dr. Charles Rufus Baxter. Go back into the Warren Commission and see his name. He was the coordinating surgeon for Kennedy. So when they brought him in, he was the person that made all the decisions on what they were going to do, etc. Now, we'll go back to Dr. Baxter here in a little bit, because Dr. Baxter, when you ask him about the assassination when I was growing up, he would not say words. I'm not going to talk about it. And then if you ask him again, he would tell you, don't ask me anymore. If you ask him a third time, which people did, he then just basically blanked you out. You didn't exist in his life. He refused to talk about the Kennedy assassination, period.
He was the head autopsy surgeon, right?
Right. He was an autopsy. He was the coordinating surgeon. When they brought Kennedy, or the body in, when they brought that body in to Parkland, that he coordinated thoracic, he coordinated neurology. He was the coordinating person and rotated amongst the doctors, etc. So he was looking at wounds. He was looking. He was the coordinating surgeon. And so he refused to talk about it. So then I went to work for Charles Rufus Baxter, first off as a burn technician, and then I worked as a medical cinematographer. He then went into the specialization of burns. And I was a burn cinematographer, and it was November 23rd of 1972 or 73. CBS had just had another whitewash thing about the Kennedy assassination the night before. And so we were in surgery. I'll never forget, we were doing a hand surgery. And one of the interns says, well, what happened that day? And I thought, oh, my God, this guy's going to be, you know, sent off to Outer Mongolia because he's asked this question. Well, Baxter then started talking. He backed away from the operation that was going on, and for the next hour and a half during the whole operation, he talked about the assassination. And it's absolutely some of the most fascinating words that came out. I then repeated these things, what he said, over the years. People thought I was nuts. So
what
finally,
did he say?
On the 40th anniversary of the assassination, Baxter was on Larry King Live, and he basically stated a lot of things that I had been stating. He didn't give the specifics. I can fill in the specifics, but basically, Larry King directly asked Charles Baxter, "You stopped resuscitation," and Charlie said, "Yes, I did," and I thought it would be malpractice to continue. And again, he didn't give the details of how he stopped malpractice, and here's where I can fill in, because I know what Charles Baxter did, and what he did was absolutely one of the most fascinating things. And he made the statement afterwards. He said, I gave a full statement to the Warren Commission. It never was published. It was never put into the Warren Commission. Surprise, surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did he say?
And so, well, you know what? I'm going to hold that on, because we're going to get back to that. I would like to get back to...
Let me do one thing. Can we do one thing? Because Melissa's been holding. We're going to get back. Let me take a call. We're going to go to Icy, Texas, and talk to Melissa. Melissa, you're on the Investigative Journal.
Good morning.
Hi. Do you have a question or comment?
Good morning.
Well, it's not icy now where I am in Austin. It's all thawed away.
Okay, good.
Yay. Okay, so I have a friend who went to the gun show a few months back, and he ended up buying a stack of old newspapers, and it was the Houston Post, November 23rd, that day after.
Right.
And I just got around, he gave me one as a gift for Christmas, and he doesn't have a clue about all of the things that I know and, you know, what we all know that listen to this network, but he's starting to wake up a bit, and he's a young man, and I started looking through this Houston Post section. I mean, the whole section, the front page, that whole section was all about the assassination. On the middle, on the inner page, there was a picture taken from street level pointing up at the book depository window, supposed where Oswald was standing when he fired his shots. And down on the ground, traffic was running again, so it was... A pickup truck or something, a car, in the place where the limousine would have been when the shooting took place. Now, the funny thing, Greg, you'll get a kick out of this, around the window of the depository was a square, meaning on the square,
mm-hmm.
Sonic, And then on the spot where Kennedy was sitting when he was shot in his limo, was a Maltese cross, is how they marked where he was. So it was a square and a Maltese cross.
That's very good.
And so I would say Knights of Malta were certainly involved.
Especially that editor.
You can bet they were.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah,
it is.
But now, this, again, I can also state there, I was working for the Dallas Times-Herald, one of my second days to work for the Times-Herald. We got a phone call in and said, we need a photographer right away. Can you come? And I said, well, are you the front desk? Are you the city desk? And they said, no, we're an outside company. We need somebody right away. And I was just getting off duty, and I said, okay. And I met him at a street corner, and they said, we have permission to go up at the book depository and take pictures. And I was going, what? And so we walked all over the depository. And I was, I think, probably one of the very few people that was able then to look out, supposedly, of the window of where Oswald was at. I had a 500-millimeter telephoto lens with a tele-extender. And I was attempting then to take a picture down on where Kennedy was shot. This is now 1972, so we're talking 10 years after the assassination. Literally, though, the trees, after 10 years that was around the area, they grew some, but they couldn't grow as much over a 10-year period. The shot that I could take with the photo with a camera was almost impossible to shoot a picture from that window, nevertheless be shooting at the President of the United States. I will state, unequivocally, that what happened is I was pointing my camera out, and it was too shaky because I had this long, long lens, and I wanted to go back and get my tripod and put it on the tripod and take a picture. And as I went back to get my tripod, they said, hey, we got to go. We had, so much time, and, it really wasn't their emphasis to go over and look at the window. I did this on my own initiation. I did not get the chance to go put the camera on the tripod and take a picture, but I did visually look from that window down on to the street. There is no way that anybody shot a human from that position, period.
Wow. Very interesting. Any other questions?
Well, just that I just think it's amazing how when they do one of their dirty deeds that they like to put their advertisement on it to let everyone know that I did this. Just funny to me. I mean, it's a sad thing, but it's very funny that they think they can get away with this kind of...
Is there a way that you can possibly make a copy of that and send it over to Greg so he can put it on his website?
Yeah, I might even be able to talk this fellow out of one of the other entire papers.
Okay, because basically if you can get a hold of a scanner, there's no reason why you have to send the whole picture. Just go ahead and scan it, on a real high-quality resolution.
Right.
Make it color, not black and white, even though it's in black and white. Make it color.
Okay.
And it makes a really high resolution. It should be an almost exact copy of it. And send it over to Greg. It would be a fascinating thing to put on the website.
Yeah, one more little thing. All right.
Go ahead.
Well, Greg, I'll have to get in touch with you as soon as I get my computer up and running in the next few days.
Okay, do that. And also, I just wanted to get your comment about George Bush's, I don't know if you know, he made a statement at Gerald Ford's funeral that basically anybody who considers anything else outside of a lone gunman is a conspiracy nut and shouldn't, and there's no validity because Gerald Ford was a credible, good, honest man, and he told you the truth about the Kennedy assassination. Now, can you believe he used that venue to do that?
Interesting, but as far as Mr. Ford being a honorable man, I would just say look at Kathy O'Brien's book, Transformation of America, and that tells you how honorable he was.
Right, he's a Freemason. He's a 33 degree Mason, and
she claims he was a pedophile who took care of her very well while she was under 5 years old.
Right, Brian, why do you think Bush would make that statement? Do you think he's feeling any heat now or something? Why would he use that funeral to make these statements about anybody who considers anybody outside of Lee Harvey Oswald just nothing but a conspiracy nut?
Well, that's also, too, we have to look back at the whole history of Gerald Ford. Now, he was on the Warren Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And who was his underling? His underling then came up with the one-bullet theory, which is absolutely absurd, but it was then put on the Warren Commission, where basically the bullet went through Kennedy and then also went through Connally. and who came up with that theory, who was then his assistant. His name was Donald Rumsfeld. And so then the, again, he was basically on the sham commission. So now when the whole Watergate thing came down, they needed somebody who they could trust. Remember, Gerald Ford was not elected president. He was appointed. And by appointed by who? When they got rid of Agnew, they then appointed Gerald Ford. And what was the first thing he did? He pardoned Nixon. So basically, here is Gerald Ford, part of the biggest shams of the 20th century, the Warren Commission. Then he is not elected president. He is appointed president. And then what does he do? The first thing he does is pardon Nixon. So,
and I was talking to some...
And then who is his assistant that comes up with this ridiculous theory of one bullet that everybody seems to, you know, follow on the one, you know, all the way down the line, including what Bush is saying there. So it's basically not only covering, per se, Ford, but, I mean, just so a whole plethora of lies that...
Right.
That,
now, Ford also appointed George... He appointed George H. Bush as the CIA director.
Exactly, at that same time. And that the person before was already starting to sing to the then reinvestigation into the Kennedy assassination. The previous CIA director was singing like a little bird and saying, yeah, okay. And then, boom, he's gone. And then they get bring in Bush.
Let me say something to both of you and then get your reaction to this. But recently I interviewed a New York police detective, Jim Rothstein, who basically... nabbed Sturgis, Frank Sturgis, a.k.a. Frank Farini, calling him one of the most ruthless killers in our country. And he admitted to him in the New York precinct when he was caught before he was going to kill a woman who knew about this story and was going to talk. Farini, a.k.a. Sturgis, said, yes, I was one of the shooters. And he sung to basically Rothstein, but then was... He was basically, Rothstein was then sued. Farini got out through the help of the White House and never was charged with anything. Now, let me just make this point. I was also talking to people, too, who were putting together the Watergate story. And actually, Nixon was pardoned and was relieved from duty as president, not over this, not over basically just a second-rate burglary. But they were covering up for his involvement in the Kennedy assassination and stuff that was in the Watergate building that would have implicated many, many people. And that was the reason behind Watergate. Did you ever have any thoughts about that?
For myself, yes. There was definite connections between Watergate and the Kennedy assassination. There were so many of them. All the people involved, Sturgis. Now, here again, I'll make a statement and we can go ahead and, you know, we'll get into it later on. But the reason why Sturgis was brought in is, first off, a sharpshooter. And I believe that when he shot Kennedy, he did not kill him.
Okay.
And that's why they brought him in. And that's why they knew they could keep a cover up, etc. And I'll say that I'll give all the background of why Kennedy was shot by Sturgis. He was did not die.
Okay, we'll get into that in the next half hour because it's the next segment after the break. But I wanted to, Melissa, you still there?
Yes, I am.
I want to, anything else? If not, I want to thank you for calling and call anytime.
Well, just that, you know, we shouldn't be confused by the facts. We should just pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
Exactly.
Everything that they told us is a lie.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks
okay,
a lot.
Thank you, Melissa.
Bye.
And, you know, I stopped referring to this like this, the shadow government, because it gives you this idea that you'll never find these people. These people are out there. We know who killed these people. The question is, how do we get them to justice? And that's the real point here, because whether Kennedy was killed at that on the scene like they say, or whether other things happened, it's still a murder. And we need to find out who are the perps. That's that simple. And they're not shadowy. They show themselves. It's just that they've been able to cover. They feel they are so above the law. That's why they do these things, because they know there's no one that's ever going to get to them. And any good FBI detective, any good police officer that wants to, either will lose his job or will be killed if they go too far. And that's exactly how they operate. Through fear, intimidation, and any decent prosecutor any decent FBI agent or anyone out there, I'll say it again, that has information, come forward, because there's going to be a day of reckoning when the good guys and the bad guys are not going to be, you know, right now we got a lot of bad guys disguised as good guys, and pretty soon it's all going to come out in the open. And hopefully it'll be before martial law. But once martial law is intact, people, and we don't stop these guys, we are not going to have a prayer, because they'll just tell you then, because what are we going to do behind bars? Back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal.
Desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Okay, we're back on the Investigative Journal, 800-313-9443 on this open line Friday, talking about the Kennedy assassination and much, much more. So if you want to call in, talk to my guest, Brian David Anderson, about that, or if you want to talk to me about anything else, call at 800-313-9443. I will get to my callers, so don't hang up if you're on the line there. But let me get back to Brian. Can I ask you a question, though? Have you done anything with the JFK Jr.'s murder?
Well, again, that also goes back to the history. JFK Jr. is one of the pivotal things about the JFK assassination. And we go back now, the person that we call John. John F. Kennedy Jr., I feel, has a tremendous influence on the Kennedy assassination or the Kennedy whole situation. If we go back to the history of the Kennedys, Joseph Kennedy, the family owned restaurants and nightclubs all throughout the East Coast. Prohibition really had a significant impact on the family business. And so they could not get a hold of any type of alcohol, so then it became Joseph Kennedy's mission. It was to go out and secure alcohol. Very smart man that he was, he then came up with the formula, hey, you don't put your distillers and your production in country. You make it off country, and then you ship in the booze. Because if you lose a shipment, no big deal. But you still can bring in more shipments after that. You won't lose your main production. So they then decided, okay, we can bring in ships. Who was the primary person then that brought in the alcohol for the Kennedy family? It was Aristotle Onassis. Then they also had to secure to get these boats in correctly so they would not be stopped. Then Kennedy approached his old friend Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was the Secretary of Navy at the time. So it's now the legend goes is that basically FDR's campaign for president was partially and mostly financed by the money he made off from Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have this puzzles and pieces being put together. Now you have the life of John F. Kennedy. Is that he was very sick as a youth and had all sorts of health problems. But he had then, you know, that window of time when he was younger, 18, 19, became the PT boat captain, basically crashed up the boat, should have been court-martialed, was not because of father's influences, but he did have a back injury. So now he also has the sexual prowess of his father and then marries Jacqueline, but then he's going to have a, pretty much a free sexual lifestyle, but then she goes tit for tat. She goes, hey, if you can have a free sexual lifestyle, so can I. So then, because of the connections between the Onassis already being running in booze, that's how then Jackie met Aristotle Onassis. It is now the contention, you know, by many, many people that have been over the know is that, yes, the Kennedys had a first child, Caroline. However, after that time, there was no other type of per se sexual relationship between Jackie and Jack Kennedy.
Brian, just hold it there, okay, because we're going to take a short two-minute break at the top of the hour. Come back, we'll continue. My guest, Brian David Anderson, call us, 800-313-9443, and we will get to the callers on the other side of the hour. Back in 2 minutes on the Investigative Journal.